we are going to study, we are the vessels of God. You remember what God did? He took the clay and made the man. The Word of God says, whatever God created, you know what God says? This is good. But when He made the man, then He said, it is not good to man to be alone. In 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 7. Please read.
Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered.
So now here he's saying, the man is a strong vessel, and the woman is a weaker vessel, made from the same clay. Our subject is not prayer. Our subject about the vessel of God. And now here he's saying the weaker vessel, the man should be giving honor to this vessel. Not only that, he says, we are together, husband and wife, as the vessel of God, should be used for the glory of God. And so what he's trying to say, husband and wife, together, they should be praying. Together, they should be doing the Lord's work. He says, if you don't do that way, then your prayer will be hindered. And many times people say, why my prayer is not answering? Then the answer is this, are you having prayer and togetherness with your wife? Togetherness, I'm not talking about a physical contact. I'm talking about the spiritual unity. And so here, this is a weaker vessel. Husband is a stronger vessel. But all this vessel God has created for His glory. We do not know how many years Adam and Eve, her name was not Eve actually, how many years Adam lived together without committing sin. We do not know. And so, when we say Adam committed sin, why are we saying? Because the woman and man together, they were called Adam. Please read, if you have the Bible with you, Genesis chapter 5, verse 2.
Male and female created He them, and blessed them, and called their name Adam, in the day when they were created.
The day they were created, their name was Adam. Male and female, but their name was Adam. Means, in the eyes of God, male and female, they are equal. Then what happened the day Adam or the woman ate the fruit, and then her half of the part, Adam, he ate it, and then the curse came. And that's why now man became the head, woman became a helper. And that started from because of result of sin, no female. That's why other countries and other religious people, they have still problem. Hindu people, they are dominating their wives. Muslim people dominating their wife. I don't know Jewish people, how they treat their wife. But that is because of fall of man. Man is fallen, that's why the man is dominating his wife. But in Christ, there is no male, there is no female. Now here we see the man committed sin, and what happened? Lost the glory, power, wisdom, and everything what God has given to mankind. But the Word of God says, God had the plan that this man should do righteous things, do good things. And this was the plan of God. And He says, it was before God ordained. 2:10, Ephesians chapter 2:10. Please read.
For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them.
Now we are God's creation. And God wanted we to do good things, righteous things. And this God knew before the foundation of the world, we were in the mind of God and God wanted us to do something good. But when man failed, so man could not do good things. And fallen man, even though he does anything good, the word of God says, your righteousness is filthy rag in the sight of God. Now, what God has to do, God has to create a new man. That's the point. Read the book of Jeremiah chapter 18 and first four verses.
The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause thee to hear my word. Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make it.
Now what is the lesson here God is teaching to Jeremiah? He's saying go to the potter's house, and he showed him what the potter was doing. What the word of God says, God is our potter, and we are the clay in the hand of God. So what happened here? God is saying, Jeremiah, go to the potter's house and I'm going to show you and give you the lesson. He goes, he watches the potter making pot, and the pot didn't come according to what the potter wanted. And so it was deformed or something. So the potter did not throw the clay away. What did he do? He took the same clay and started working on that clay and made the new pot. So what we getting lessons from this? He's saying, children of Israel, as the potter has the power to change and make a new pot, the same way I can do. And so what God was trying to make a new man from the same clay. In book of Hebrews, we read in the chapter 1, that Jesus Christ, when he came to this world, he took the form of the man, like a fallen man, lower than an angel. And so he took the same clay body, like you and me. And the word of God says in St. John chapter 1, verse 14, the word became flesh, and then Jesus Christ dwelt among us. And so what he's trying to say, how God created a new man, as we see, Jesus Christ came into this world to show what God is all about. And what he was saying when he was on earth, he says, I cannot say anything my own. I am here to tell you what God is trying to tell you. So what he was trying to say, I am the Word of God. And I am telling you what God is all about. And then we learn in St. John chapter 1, verse 18, he says, no man hath seen God any time. Jesus Christ, who was in the bosom of Father, he revealed us who God is. So now, Jesus Christ took a body like you and me, same mud, same clay, but just like Jeremiah said, that pot was marred, or pot was disfigured. And he said he did not throw that lump, he recreated from same lump. In Isaiah chapter 53, we see of the Jesus picture on the cross. And when we read about it, please start reading from verse 1.
Who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, and acquainted with grief. And we hid him, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not.
Now this is the picture of the pot is marred. A pot is crushed on the cross of Calvary. Jesus Christ came as a baby in the manger, and no shepherd or no wise men said, it is an ugly baby. Did they? No. They saw the face of Jesus Christ and they recognized he's the Son of God and he's the Lord and he's Messiah. But the Isaiah said people could not see his face and they were turning his face away. When did it happen? It happened on the cross. And then when Jesus Christ was buried and he came out of the grave, at that time, Mary Magdalene was not able to recognize Jesus, right? If that same face and all these bruises were there, and same face, she would recognize. But she could not recognize. Somebody will say, oh, there he was behind her. So all the windows and doors were closed, and he came with a glorious body. And they did not say, oh, this is the one we saw on the cross. But he has to show his hands, pierced hand. And, you know, Thomas said, I'm not going to believe. I want to see the same print hand. They said, we saw it, but he didn't believe it. But then Jesus comes and tells Thomas, come and put your hand in my hand and put your hand in my side. Thomas didn't have the courage to go and check it out. He fell on his face, and what did he say? My Lord and my God. So what I'm trying to say, when Jesus Christ came out of the grave, he did not come like an ugly looking person that we should run away from his face. His face was glorious. And the book of Hebrews, it says, he was a glorious, he is the creator, and he is the perfect image of God. So when he came out of the grave, they saw he's a glorious man and glorious God, and he went in front of them to heaven. And the people were looking at him. Two angels came and what say? O people of Galilee, what you looking? The same Jesus who is going now, the same Jesus will come back. So the point what I'm making here, Jesus Christ took the same body like yours body and my body. Now that weaker vessel or the mud vessel became a precious vessel because of Jesus Christ. Now read the 2 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 7.
But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us.
Paul is saying this earthly body, this earthly vessel became now precious vessel. Why? Because Jesus Christ died on the cross, he was buried, and he came out of the grave, and now he gave us that's the same glorious body. Even though we have right now, we have same clay body, but inside we have a spirit body, like means the spirit man. The word of God says, real man is inside of us. That's the spirit man. And that spirit was dead because of sin. But Ephesians chapter 2, he said, Jesus Christ quickened us and he gave us a new life. So now we got a new body. And we got a new glorious body. Even the earthly body is outside. We have this right now. But once we receive the Holy Spirit, once we receive the Word of God in our heart, then what happened? This body becomes special treasure to God. And that's why Jesus Christ is coming for his treasure. He said, I'll come as a thief in the night. Thief comes for what? Stealing away. So he comes to take a church, steal away from this world. No one will be able to see. Even though somebody says the trumpet will sound, and who will be listening? The dead in Christ will listen. And when we are alive, we listen. But the whole world is not going to listen. Only church is going to listen, and church is going to go. So now he says, in this earthen vessel, the God's power is hidden. And so just think, in your house, there are all kinds of vessels. But thief comes to take the golden vessel or silver vessel. So some wise people, what they will do, they do it in India. They take their jewelry and put it in the earthen vessel, but they have mud vessels. They will be lined up like so many. And out of somewhere, they will have their treasure. So the thief will have a hard time to take all this mud vessel to find where the earthen vessel has the treasure. That treasure, only the person who is keeping, his eyes is already on that vessel every time. If that is missing or what, keep track of that vessel. So same way, there are all people in this world, but we are the children of God, and we are special, just like an apple of his eye. That means we are so precious in the sight of God. And God is watching over us, and because he made us precious. Without Jesus Christ, we are nothing, right? This vessel, this life, without Jesus Christ, has no value. But St. Paul says, I can do all things, what? Through Christ, who strengtheneth me. So, if we receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, then we are precious in the sight of God. In this mud part, we have that life of God. What happens? People who are unsaved people, they are looking at us and they are recognizing we are the children of God. We are precious in the sight of God, and people will recognize because we are like a shining. See, Romans chapter 3 verse 23 we read, and we know all have sinned and what? Come short of the glory of God. But when you confess your sins, come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, what would happen? We receive the glory of God, and we are glorious according to these scriptures. God has kept this treasure in that vessel. So we are special. We are a special vessel because even the every believer is a vessel of God, right? Because we are born again, the Spirit of God is living in us, and we are shining for Jesus Christ. But the Word of God says, many are called, but what? Few are chosen. Let's read how God has chosen Paul, and what he's trying to say. Acts chapter 9, verse 15.
But the Lord said unto him, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel.
Amen. Now, who is this? This is St. Paul. When God called him, Ananias says, Lord, I'm not going to go and help him because he is destroying the church of God. So he said, don't worry. He is my chosen vessel. And he's going to suffer for my sake. And then he said, okay, he's going to suffer. Okay, I'm going to go now and help him. If you are a chosen vessel, somebody will say, if I'm a chosen vessel, why should I be suffering? God should be taking care of me. But he says, when you are the chosen vessel, that's the vessel God can use more. Somebody might have a special plate, a special cup. And so you use our special chair. When you have a special chair, special cup, or special plate, what do? You use it often. If you have a special shirt, beautiful shirt, you will be using all the time. You're wearing that out. But what you're doing is giving glory to that shirt, giving glory to that pot or vessel or whatever. So the Saint Paul, only a couple of times he said, Lord, this is too much for me. The people are harassing me. They are just like a thorn in my flesh. That was not sickness or disease. That was just the suffering the people were giving when he was going to preach. People are saying there was a sickness. No sickness, because when God heals somebody, he doesn't heal halfway. When he had the problem in his eyes, God healed him. And St. Paul says, God delivered me from all my problems. If all problems means, he said, when he talked to God and God said, My grace is what? Sufficient for you. That doesn't mean you have to be crippled. God's grace is sufficient in everything means by the grace of God we got saved. By the grace of God we got the Holy Spirit. By the grace of God we get healed. By the grace of God we got all the miracles. Grace of God will not keep you crippled. That's what the point I'm making. So when St. Paul, God says, my grace is sufficient, what God was trying to say, use my grace. And God used St. Paul mightily. And here he's saying, I have chosen you to take the message to Gentiles. Now some people say, okay, then Paul's message is just for the Gentiles. He's a special vessel and he is the one who should be preaching the Gentiles. That was his mission. But that doesn't mean that you are not going to preach to others. Now, some people say, I have a mission to Africa. And always they're thinking about Africa and they don't want to talk to their neighbors. They don't want to talk to somebody on the street. They said, my mission is Africa. Look at the St. Paul. Even though his mission for the Gentiles, he said, I'll send you to the kings. Not only that, I'll send you to heathens and I'll send you to the children of Israel. When God called and gave them the Holy Spirit, what promise he gave? Acts chapter 1 verse 8, what he says? When you receive the Holy Spirit, you'll be my witness where? In Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and uttermost part of the world. So that is the promise. So you cannot narrow God's work. God has given whole world for us to preach. There is nothing that I should be preaching in Philadelphia and somebody should be preaching in New York and they should not be coming to Philadelphia. God has given freedom. So even though he was called to heathen, preach to heathen, he says go to kings, go to children of Israel and go to everyone. So the message for us, if we are the chosen vessel of God, if God used the Paul with the trials and tribulations and problems, and he never said, I'm not going to go to that place, I'm not going to go to this place. He was always ready to go. Why? Because he knew, I am a chosen vessel. And some people might be thinking, you know, God might be some prejudice. Why he using that person that way and he's not using me? See what the word of God is saying. Romans chapter 9 verse 21 and 22.
Hath not the potter power over the clay of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor? What if God, willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much long-suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction?
Okay, now here, somebody take this verse and he say, okay, then God made some people only for destruction and some people for salvation. That's not what God is trying to say. He says if God wants to show his wrath, his power, he can take any person who is not listening to God. Now just think somebody came to church, gave his heart to the Lord, and followed the Lord for 6 months. And then he's turned around and start going astray and say, I'm not going to be a believer. I don't want this thing. I want to go my way. And then the church people watching that person, and then they will see the destruction of that person. And then God's wrath will come upon that person, and they can see with their eyes, wow, we should not be doing this. Otherwise, this is what happens. Once somebody goes astray, then the wrath of God comes upon that person. If that person comes back to God, God will change that person. But here the word of God is saying, we should be not the vessel of wrath, but what? The vessel of honor. So God has created us for his honor, for his glory, for his work. We learn because in the beginning, the word of God says, I wanted my people to work for me. And this was my desire. But the man could not do the will of God. That's why Jesus Christ came as an obedient son. And the word of God says he fulfilled the will of God. And never said no to God. And so what happened? Because of his obedience, we got blessed. And so now, all the honor and glory what Jesus Christ got, he gave it to us. And now we are sharing the glory of Christ. Jesus Christ never said any time, if you do something better than me, I will be jealous. God is never jealous of his children. There are some people in the world, if they are not born again, and if their daughter or their son is doing much better than them, they get jealous and they kill them. You saw many mother and father, they are killing their children if they are acting too much or making more money than them or something like that, or some silly reason they will kill them. But if you are born again, child of God, and your child is doing great, what happens? You feel so good in your spirit. You said, wow, my children obey me, listen to me, they are growing. That's a joy for the mom and dad. St. John is saying, when I listen, my children obey, greatest joy I get than any other things. So you need your children to be obedient. So the word of God says, when we obey him, we became what? The vessel of honor. So when we are vessel of honor, we are vessel of glory, we are precious vessel, we are chosen vessel. So what we do now with this vessel? Read the 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 4.
That every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor.
Okay, everyone. That means every believer should know that God has called me with a definite purpose. I am not an ordinary person. I am a chosen vessel. I am a glorious vessel. I am precious in the sight of God. And God wants to use me. So I am keeping my vessel holy, keeping my vessel sanctified. What do you mean sanctified? Sanctified means separated for the Lord. He's already said, keep your vessel sanctified or keep your vessel holy. When you say sanctified means separated for God. Do not allow enemy, do not allow any evil things to come and defile the vessel of God. So you keep your vessel sanctified and honored. If anyone sees you, they should glorify God. The man of God or woman of God, they should, people always give them respect. But if the person being a pastor or pastor's wife or the leader of the church start doing the sinful thing, do you think the congregation is going to give honor to that man? No. Honor is earned by your holiness. Honor is earned what you do good things. If you're doing filthy things, nobody's going to honor you. Just think, tomorrow I start telling, listen to the satanic gospel. Are you going to give me honor? You're going to say, get out of this church. We don't want to hear you. Because last Sunday we learned, St. Paul says, if somebody preaches another gospel, that person should be cursed. Not even the angel. If angel preaches or anybody preaches, that person should be cursed. The angel should be cursed. But when we're doing the Lord's work, we are blessed. That's what the word of God says. If you are a vessel of God, God took so much pain. He made all the animals. What did he say? Come out of the ground or be there, and they were there. For the man, he labored. He worked hard. We are the vessel of God, chosen for his glory, and we keep our vessel holy unto the Lord. When he came out of the grave, he became what? First fruit of resurrection. That means if Jesus Christ is not risen, we cannot be resurrected. So he made us glorious vessel. And now, that's why the 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, what it says? You know that verse by heart. If any man be in Christ Jesus, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things became new. So this is what happened because of Jesus Christ. He came, He died, he rose again, and he gave us the new image. And now this vessel, the vessel of mud, vessel of clay, became a glorious vessel. And now 1 John chapter 3 and verses 1 to 3, please read, and I'm going to finish it there. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1 to 3, please.
Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure.
Amen. So see, like a 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 4, we read that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification, in honor. For what? Because Jesus Christ is coming. And when he comes, he will make us just like him. And then he says, if you have this hope, what hope? We will be like him. Then he says what? Purify yourself as he is pure. And so we are not going to be used if we are not keeping ourselves holy and pure. We are not going to be make it when Jesus Christ comes, when we are backslidden or not living life pleasing to God. So what the Word of God is trying to teach us? We are vessels. We want to keep this vessel of God holy, keep it sanctified, keep it very precious, and keep it ready for the kingdom of God, because God wants us used as his vessel. Don't we say, Lord, use me like your vessel? So let's pray. Shall we rise? Let's pray and say, Lord, use me as your vessel. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you. Thank you, Lord, for giving us grace. We were just the dust, a clay. But now you made us precious. You sanctified us with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. You have chosen us for your glory. And Lord Jesus, we are going to go forward. We know there are trials and troubles and problems comes just like came to St. Paul. But your word says, my grace is sufficient. And Lord, we need your grace, your power, your wisdom, and your mercy. If Jesus Christ is with me, I am majority. One will chase 1,000, two will chase 10,000. So give us the unity and togetherness. If two people can do mighty things, then 2,000 people who are not called by God. So give us grace to be used for the glory of God. We commit ourselves into a loving hand, and let us grow in the grace and the knowledge of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. And amen.